You're listening to Humanitarian Radio with your hosts, Tony St. Tone and Janie Beauclair.
Good afternoon and welcome to Humanitarian Radio. We hope you're enjoying your Sunday and stopped in for a little dose of good news for your soul. Hi, Tony St. Tone.
Hi. It's so funny you say my full name. Hi, Janie Beauclair.
Welcome to this Sunday. How are you today?
I'm doing great. I want to talk about where you spent the past couple of days on a movie set.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It's true. It's true.
With Mark Wahlberg.
Otherwise known as Marky Mark.
Yeah.
One of my
Good Vibrations.
One of my favorites.
Good Vibration.
Yeah. That was Tony.
Yeah, he can't live that down. That was his one hit single, but, you know, put him on the map. And
excellent. Good for him, man. Yep. Good for him.
He went from walking around in his underwear now to being a famous actor, which is pretty incredible.
Famous actor and just a really great guy. I did have the opportunity to chat with him for a minute or two, and he agreed to do this interview with us on this show.
Yeah, it's pretty exciting.
He and his wife, well, when we first became aware of what Mark was doing, was about a year ago. Tony and I went to a fundraiser in Beverly Hills at the Beverly Hills Hilton, and it was put on by Mark and his wife, and it was for their youth foundation. So Mark and his brother, actually, in 2001, I want to say, started a youth foundation to give back to their community. They're outside of Boston area. And they have been able to raise $10 million.
Yeah, that's incredible.
That's beautiful. So what they focus on is giving back to teenagers, because I don't know if you know the Mark Wahlberg story, but many brothers and sisters, a few of them were in a bit of trouble growing up. He made the comment one time that he was in jail at 16, and that he pitied anybody who ever got involved or stuck in the prison system. And so he was a bit of trouble in the beginning, and he's trying to give back to those that supported him back in those days. And I think that's really awesome.
Well, there's 9 siblings. If you ever watch that show,
The Wahlburgers, right?
It's their reality show now, following them doing a hamburger chain with the oldest brother. There's only 3 that are on that show.
And this is John. This is a different brother that's on that's involved with the Family Youth Foundation.
Yeah, so there's Donnie, who was on New Kids on the Block, and he was one who launched everyone into a career, and that's how Marky Mark got started. And fascinating, all from Boston.
All entrepreneurs, too. A very strong family. The father was part of the Teamsters. I mean, they all came from just grassroots of blue collar and made something great of themselves. So I applaud him. I was really happy to meet him. He's a really nice guy. And I look forward totally to having him on the station.
Excellent. What else is going on?
By the way, the movie's called The Gambler, and it's going to be out in 2015.
Okay.
And you will know me because I am trying to marry a young man named Lamar, who is the star of the basketball team.
Yes.
And so I am the crazy woman in the stands with the Marry Me Lamar sign.
You won't be able to miss her.
And it's all about, I'm in love with that dude.
You can't give too much away.
No. Can't.
No.
Can't. Anyway, so that was a great experience. We have a really cool guy on the show today also that we met through another movie experience.
Mm-hmm.
Tony and I, a few months back, were interviewing people on the red carpet for Humanitarian Radio, and we interviewed someone at Grumman Theater. It was a movie called Man Eater, and we met this doctor. His name is Osher Milgram, and he had just gotten back from a trip from Vietnam doing surgeries on children for free.
Yeah.
And so, obviously, he caught our attention, and so we've got him on the show today. What a cool guy. Has an amazing story about an actual experience that he had that will be an eye-opener, trust me.
Yeah, you're not going to want to miss it. So, what else is going on this week? We have made a contact with a new restaurant that we are going to be doing a dinner show. It's actually going to be the Rise Up Show, the Rise Up Experience Show, that we've talked about before. You probably saw it on our website, sainttone.com. It's a hour and a half show. It's 90 minutes, and this is going to include a full dinner, a four-course meal.
Yeah.
And we're bringing in dancers. We're bringing in special effects. I believe we might even have someone who's going to be doing something with fire.
Yeah, yeah.
So we're really excited about this. We're going to be doing a weekly show right in Buena Park, but it's right next to Knott's Berry Farm.
Yeah, yeah, it's right in that whole Disney area.
Yeah.
Right on the edge of Anaheim and Buena Park. And there's going to be a red carpet. There's going to be a meet and greet after, and you know, cocktails in the bar and all that kind of thing. It's a full event. It's a full night. It's dinner, dancing, and fun.
Yeah.
And it looks like we're going to be stationed there for a little bit, at least for a month.
Yeah.
So that's exciting. That's a lot of fun. It's a place where our fans can come and see us. You know, we do a lot of celebrity parties, and we do a lot of prison and churches and nursing homes and hospitals and places where our fans can't really come and hang. So that's going to be a really cool thing for us to have access for you guys all to come out.
Yeah, I'm very excited about it. And if you're familiar with Medieval Times and the Pirate Show, it's right in that area.
Yeah, those are both dinner theaters also.
Yeah, so
quite
it's
a
right
bit more
area.
Expensive too, I want to say. They're all like $59.95 and the restaurant's going to be charging $45 for this dinner show.
Yeah.
And it's the
yeah.
same amount of time and, you know, same amount of
entertainment and excitement. Yeah.
yeah.
Again,
yeah.
And the show is going to actually continue throughout the night, because what we'll do is we'll do our show and then you can actually hang out in the bar area and the DJ is going to start. So it's not like you have to get out and wait for the next show to start. This is something you can actually make an entire night out of, where you come, have a dinner, see a show, and then go dancing.
Hang.
And dance,
totally,
you know,
totally.
Which is really, really cool. So it's not like you're going to be kicked out at the end of the night to bring in the next group of people.
You'll be able to probably get tickets, I would assume, on our website here in the next couple of days. That'll be set up, and also on the Facebook.
Mm-hmm. The new name of the restaurant is going to be called the Maya Indian Cuisine and Bar. Currently, it's called The Torch. So if you're familiar where it is, in Buena Park.
It's spelled A-M-A-Y-A.
Yep, they're just about to change the sign. So we're really excited about that.
And also this weekend is the last weekend to celebrate the L.A. Fashion. They're doing a fashion show on Saturday night. Tony, you and I will be on the red carpet for that event.
Mm-hmm.
And
yes.
Should be a lot of fun. It's a wrap-up of 3 weeks of, you know, people marketing their product lines, their clothing lines. So very exciting to be part of that.
Yeah,
and,
very cool.
Let's wrap it up and bring on the good doctor.
Yeah, we'll be right back after this announcement.
I'm living here in a state of abundance. I'm counting blessings that I never saw before. Cause I'm the ruler of this kingdom I call me.
Positive affirmation, rap, pop rock song.
Give me that best case scenario.
It's motivational musician. Check out his latest live show, The Rise Up Experience.
I'm the man at the money.
At www.fainttone.com.
Your life, reinvent your life. Mama said we can always hug it out.
Pick up his latest CD, Outside the Box, available on iTunes.
We choose to.
For music with a positive message, check out sainttone.com.
So we are back with Dr. Asher Milgram. He is a PhD, has all kinds of great things that he is doing in the world, and we are so delighted to shine a light on him today. Doctor, how are you?
Very good, thank you.
Excellent. Well, we met in a kind of an abstract way. We met at the Grumman Theater in a movie launch of a crazy little movie, and got to do an interview with you on the red carpet and realized that you were doing some great humanitarian stuff, and I really wanted to showcase and highlight you and your wife both, who are both doing some really cool things. So why don't you first start out by telling us what type of a doctor you are, what type of practice you guys have, and then we'll go into the humanitarian side of what you do.
Okay, well, my wife and I have a practice that specializes in integrative medicine as relates primarily to skin. So integrative means, of course, that we use lots of high-tech Western technologies, but we combine that with more traditional and some ancient medical technologies and methodologies in order to have a much more holistic physiological approach to the repairing of skin. In a nutshell, if you think back to what your skin looked like when you were 25 years old and it was perfect, you know, toned and lifted and flexible and firm and just gorgeous, even though most people abuse their skin in their 20s, physiologically you can handle all that abuse and still have strong, beautiful skin on the inside, or healthy on the inside and beautiful on the outside. Well, we have managed to develop methodologies using all these different kinds of technologies together to get your skin physiologically and functionally to do what it used to do back when you were much younger, and then it rebuilt itself on its own time internally, and you have healthy, beautiful skin. Now, so that's what we do.
How often does your skin actually change?
Well, when you're young, the upper layers of the skin renew themselves every 3 to 5 days.
Okay.
And by the time you're 20, even that takes 30 days. So the renewal of skin, and especially in the deeper layers, slows down as we age and as we become more damaged, especially from sun exposure, so that by the time you're 40, pretty much you're not generating any new collagen at all. And so that's why the signs of aging accelerate so quickly after the age of 40.
Wow.
And then again, we're able to turn that stuff back on physiologically so that your skin rebuilds itself again.
And you're not talking about like Botox shots and all that kind of craziness. You're talking about a healthy way of improving your skin, correct?
Indeed. So we have many different types of lasers here. Of course, they all emit pure energy.
Yeah.
And then different components of your skin, different cell types and tissue layers, etc., they all absorb different forms of energy at different rates, and they have very specific responses, physiological responses to the different forms of energies. And so we've learned to match them up so we know which component of the skin responds in a particular way to a particular form of energy, and then we kind of have this special cocktail that we customize for every patient in order to get their skin to rebuild itself. And the results are completely natural and long-lasting, very pleasing to the patient because they see their skin transforming as the days and weeks go by after a treatment. And it is not just aesthetically very pleasing, but it's emotionally very satisfying to see that your skin has regenerative capacity that we've turned on.
Wow.
And is it something that once you have a session, is it something that once it's regenerated, it keeps going on its own, or does it need to...
Maintenance.
Is there maintenance that needs to be done? I'm not sure how
Yes, definitely. There's definitely maintenance. It'll go on for many months on its own. And then that stimulation will slow down. It's just like working out. You know, you can get your body to really physiologically respond to exercise, but you do need to go in every now and then and do some more exercise to get it all going again. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And it's really interesting how you said that most people in their 20s is when they do the most damage to their skin. And right now we're in March and spring break is happening, so all you college kids that are listening,
you're frying yourselves.
This is the time that, you know, you're flying out from the cold and you're hitting Florida or California and you're baking yourself for a week at a time and you're getting sunburn and stuff. So what kind of precautions would you say? It's just constantly using some type of sunscreen?
Well, there are two precautions, but for sure sunscreen or sunblock is really important because the vast majority of damage that occurs to the skin is from sun. So much so that we know that about 90% of all skin cancers are related to overexposure to the sun. So, again, the most important lesson from any of this is sunblock, 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 and then sunblock. Really important.
Okay, so you can't push it enough.
If you're in an area of very intense sun and you're spending all day outside, you have to reapply it midday because all these sunblocks work chemically, and they lose their chemical potency, and they also just wear off from sweating and whatnot. So at 4 or 5 hours, you need to apply it again.
Sure, I would imagine the sun probably breaks those chemicals down.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Now, I have a friend of mine who is a landscaper, and he's in the sun constantly. Someone like that, would you say you just have to keep using that same stuff, sunblock, and just constantly putting it on his face? Like, his face is always red.
And a certain strength? Is there a certain strength?
Sunblock, sunblock and a hat. So if you can afford to wear a hat, then do. You know, in fact, the larger the rim, the more shade you can hide your face in, the better.
And is there a certain level of sunblock that's like if you use sunblock 3, you're not going to get any protection. If you're going to use sunblock 50, you know, is there a certain level that you would recommend to people?
Yeah, great question. I would recommend at least an SPF of 40, and it needs to say broad spectrum on the bottle. Now, that's important because when you talk about SPF, it's only blocking one of the two UVs. There's UVA and UVB. You need to block them both, and that's why the broad spectrum label is important, because then you're blocking both UVA and UVB.
Okay.
You know, it's really interesting. As I'm sitting here thinking, I've driven by a lot of times landscapers that are out there that are long sleeve shirt, hat, scarf on their neck and like over their face. And I'm always going like, oh my God, why are those guys wearing so much clothes? I'd be dying in the heat.
They're trying to save their lives.
But they're trying to save their skin because they're out in the in the sun all day, every day. So somewhere along the line, someone told them to protect themselves fully as opposed to being comfortable.
So I find it really interesting, Doctor, that you have this type of a profession in a town, because you're in California, and we're in the Hollywood Beverly Hills area, and this town is so known for people doing fake additives to themselves, and I'm just I'm pleasantly surprised to know that there's somebody like you guys out there that's an alternative to, you know, the fake this and the fake that and the chemical this injections in your face. And And it's just a sheer delight for me to know that there's somebody like you out there doing this kind of stuff and giving an alternative to the plastic
Indeed.
World.
what kind
Indeed.
Of... Go ahead.
Well, I also want to mention that, you know, that right, the sun damage is by far the most prevalent form of sun damage, but oxidative stress internally also really wreaks havoc on the skin. And the single worst offender is smoking. We have, for instance, patients who are identical twins, and they're both 40. One of them looks 40, but the other one smoked, and she looks 80. So smoking will destroy your skin from the inside out, whereas sun does it from the outside in.
Wow, wow. Yeah, and you don't even think about that type of thing.
That's really interesting. So basically, if you're a smoker and you're out in the sun, you have twice as much damage that is being done from
the
outside.
You're going
to look
like an old shoe before you know
right.
it.
And either one can be corrected. Right. Either one can be corrected with the, your treatments?
Yeah, absolutely. And the person who's done a lot of smoking really needs a bunch of detox as well, which we do here. But that person absolutely needs to stop smoking along the way.
Right, right, for more than one reason.
Now, just out of curiosity, what got you started in this particular field? Is this something that you always wanted to study?
Well, I went to medical school years ago, and I was in an MD-PhD program at the time. And I was always very interested in the research part of things and being out of the box, looking ahead to what we could do, you know, that was out of the box. My wife was an ER pediatric trauma doc, so she was on the ER dealing with pediatric trauma day in and day out. I had decided some years back, actually, to leave medicine and do things in some other fields, in business and development and in other areas of research. And she spent 13 years straight doing that pediatric ER trauma stuff. And lo and behold, she was definitely burning out. As you can imagine, that's pretty stressful work.
Oh yeah, especially with,
So she had begun talking about maybe she should leave medicine as I had. But before we decided to throw away all those decades of education, both hers and mine, we decided to look around and see, well, what else could we do in medicine that was interesting and challenging and more holistic? And more progressive in our view of life and health and a physiological, holistic point of view. And lasers at that time, about 15 years ago, were just coming into their own. Even though they've been using medicine for 50 years, the new generation of lasers are very compelling in their precision. So that's when I started looking at that and devising this methodology of physiologically stimulating different pathways with different frequencies of energy. That's how we got into it. And quite frankly, initially we were just doing research in our garage. We had my garage set up as a research clinic, essentially, and we had some lasers in there, and we were doing a little this, a little that, and then it expanded from there.
That's not, you know, it's so funny because I'm thinking of that and what your neighbors might be thinking, like, what are they doing over there in the garage?
Dr. Frankenstein. Yeah.
They got lasers set up. They're zapping things in the middle of the night. You could see it glowing.
They were all lined up. They wanted it.
Yeah, I would imagine. Test it on me.
Yeah, it's like Mrs. Johnson next door looks a lot younger lately ever since she went to that garage. That's exciting news, though, as far as, like, you know, now when you started doing that, were you tapping into things that have never been done before, or were you just rediscovering them and putting them together in a new way? Because you're saying that you're using modern technology and also ancient techniques.
Yeah. Essentially, this is called a multiple modality approach. Right? Most Western medicine is a single modality approach. You have an infection, you get the antibiotic A, B, or whatever it is. If you have X, you get Y. You have C, you get A, B, C.
Right.
And we look at the physiology more like a symphonic orchestra. So if you've ever been to a symphony and you're looking, you know, at the orchestra pit, you'll see that there are many different sections. You have your violin section, then you have your cello section, then you have your woodwinds and your timpani and your brass, and et cetera. They're all laid out there in a traditional pattern. But if you notice, each one of them has different input, meaning they're all reading different music. If you gave the sheet music for the violin section to the flute section or to the woodwinds, oh boy, it wouldn't work at all.
Right.
You know, they all need to have the proper input in order to produce the right music in order for all the different sections to work in harmony.
Mm-hmm.
Your physiology is pretty much exactly the same. Every element of your physiology needs different input in order to function properly in coordination with other elements of your physiology. So when you're looking at your skin, there are many physiological pathways that make your skin strong and healthy and gorgeous and beautiful and all those other amazing things. And each component of your skin, each different cell type and tissue layer and organelle in your skin needs a different input. So when we imagine the physiology, the orchestra of your physiology, we look for whatever kind of input that we can to adjust the physiological output. So it's not just lasers and the pure frequency of energy that a laser emits. It can be radio frequency, it can be acupuncture, it can be something called physiological regulating medicine, which is a very advanced form of homeopathy. In our case, we also use ozonated oils. Ozone is a very important thing. IVs, ozone IVs, IV drips with vitamins. Many different things can stimulate the physiology in a healthy way. And when you get the right inputs all together, you get this symphonic sound of your physiology working at full capacity again. So it's a multiple modality approach, and each one is customized for individual patients.
Now, most people think that to have any type of procedure, and I mean like any type of procedure, it's automatically going to be like six figures or something, you know, some crazy number. Are these techniques something where somebody doesn't have a whole ton of cash, but they want to get something started and they can do like a starting program that builds into something, you know, deeper and deeper for them to transform into the look they're looking to get to?
Well, we do have introduction packages where people can basically sample, you know, a little of this, a little of that, and get an idea of just how well it works on their skin.
Yep.
And as they build confidence, they can do more and more. And we decided to charge not by technology, but by time. Right? The average doctor in California, for sure, will charge, say, $1,200 or $1,500 for a single laser pass on the face.
Okay.
It could be a lot more for other lasers. For the fractionated lasers, it could be, you know, $3,000 and $4,000. Or for a resurfacing, it could be a lot more. But once we have a patient in the room and we have, you know, a couple dozen lasers in that room with that patient, well, no one else can use those lasers. So whether we use one laser or five lasers, you know, why charge the person more for that? So we just charge by time. We know what it costs us to run the clinic, and then we add in approximately a 20% margin. Mm-hmm. And then whatever, if we use one laser or 10 lasers, we don't charge the patient anymore because we just charge them by the time required to do the procedure.
That is excellent.
So it's a better deal for everybody.
Yeah, and it gives people a chance to explore and try it out, which I think is great. Being in the world that we're in here, out in Hollywood with all the actors and that type of thing, I can totally see where it would be of benefit to let people experience it and give it a try and not, you know, have the fear factor of, I'm a starving actor and I can't try it out kind of thing. That'll, you guys having that introductory package allows more people to get a feel for what homeopathic treatment on your face could actually be like. I think that's awesome, awesome.
We're going to take a very short break and we'll be right back.
This is Janie from Artistic Journey Promotional Products. Spring is just around the corner, and what a perfect time to jump into action with your business promotions, fundraisers, red carpet events, and personal parties. Let Artistic Journey find the perfect items to properly represent your ideas. From coffee mugs to banners to clothing and over 750,000 other goodies to put your logo on, we can find the right product at the right price for you. Now in our 20th year, let our experience bring you into action. Mention Humanitarian Radio and receive 20% off on your first order. Call today, Artistic Journey, 941-780-2538.
Dillman Amps, we create the tone in your head. Custom-built guitar and bass tube amplifiers.
Hey everybody, this is David Gilman from Gilman Amps. If you need any repairs, modifications, or restorations of your vintage or modern tube equipment, as well as custom builds, I'd love to hear from you.
For more information, check out their website, GilmanAmps.com, and Facebook/GilmanAmps. We create the tone in your head.
Humanitarian Radio, shouting out some good news for your soul.
We are back. Hope you didn't miss us for too long. We're here with Dr. Asher Milgram, and we are talking about homeopathic and holistic ways to introduce new treatments to your face without injecting all kinds of craziness and just improving your skin from the inside to the out. And we're learning some awesome stuff from the doctor. It's such a delight to have you here today with us. And I wanted to talk about something that I read in your bio, which is really interesting. We have talked a lot about, let me put it this way. I understand that you had a medical, somewhat of a tragedy of your own, and that you came back from that with a whole new life. And I'd like
a new perspective.
Yeah, I'd like to talk about that because we're constantly talking about tragedies that happen and how to break yourself out of them and re-experience life again. And I find out that you had exactly that experience of your own. Can you share that with us?
Indeed. Well, it wasn't a tragedy. It was an event, and it was certainly an emergency.
Yeah.
But it wasn't a tragedy. As I mentioned earlier, I was studying in an MD-PhD program out in Chicago. And in my last year, I ended up in a coma. I contracted this infection in my brain that is typically fatal. 99.whatever% of people who get this don't survive it. And I was in a coma for about 10 days. My brother, who is a brilliant physician in his own right, came out to Chicago to see what he could do. And interestingly, he had just read an article, a couple of weeks before on exactly the pathology that I was experiencing. And even though it was a very obscure pathology, no one in the hospital knew what to do with me, he suggested a particular course of action that ended up saving my life, and a couple of days later I popped out of the coma.
Wow.
So that definitely changed my life. I do have a couple of memories of things that occurred within the coma, mm-hmm. but on the other side of the coma, it took me about 6 months to recover, to get my strength back. I'm a relatively big guy. I'm 6'3", and by the time I was out of the coma, I was 153 pounds.
Wow.
So I just burned everything up.
How long were you in?
I was really...
How long
just
were you
10
in?
days. 10 days. So fortunately, no longer, because in 2 weeks things really go south.
Yeah, and it's amazing.
But it was enough to reorient my life. You know, I came out of that, and during those 6 months afterwards recuperating, I really had a chance to evaluate where I was going and what I was doing, and take a look at my future, and decided that I wanted to live more creatively than a very narrow path of medicine. And that's why I ended up just focusing on the science side of it, the PhD side of it, and did a variety of different things in my life, not just medicine.
It's amazing how events in people's lives can just completely shift the track they're on. And, you know, I've had a personal one myself that we talk about on the show, and several people on our show have had these types of life events, and that's why I was really interested to hear what yours was. Now, when I met you, you were, I believe, just coming back from an overseas trip where you were doing some medical work on children and families that were less fortunate.
Well, that's probably what was Alice. My wife Alice, you know, and I together, but in this case I think it was just a trip that she did. She was in Vietnam and Cambodia for 3 weeks, taking care of children there, primarily orphans. And the really hard part of it is that a lot of these orphans actually were rescued out of the sex trade. And so she was working with different orphanages and these young girls. And she took actually our 15-year-old daughter with her. So they were there together in Cambodia and Vietnam for those 3 weeks. In addition to that, though, I'm trying to remember which trip it was that you were thinking of. We are in the process of building some clinics down in Belize, the country of Belize, which besides being a paradise, a tropical paradise, and the number one eco tourism spot in the world, it is still an emerging third world type of country with not a lot of medicine down there, and we're bringing a whole new level of medicine to that country, and I'm very excited about doing that.
What stage are you at with that progress?
Well, in fact, I just got an email last night that the Prime Minister and the Minister of Health are in favor of this project. They've reviewed it all, and they are in the process of approving it. So hopefully we'll be groundbreaking there in the next 2 to 3 months, and we'll start building our clinics there.
And let me just say from personal experience, that is a big, that's a great email, because that takes a lot to get everybody behind you in the higher up government positioning when you're trying to do something like this, specifically medically. So congratulations.
Yeah,
that's huge, and
thanks.
I applaud you there.
Thanks. Yeah, it's been pretty miraculous. There's a lot of serendipity in this whole project and how people are responding to it. And we're very grateful.
Is this something that people
are so smooth?
Is this something people can help you with as far as getting behind you or donations or helping or volunteering or anything like that? Is this the type of project where you can have people support you in this?
At the moment, financially, we don't need anything financially yet, and we probably won't. Even though a lot of the medicine we'll be doing there is pro bono. You know, there are two divisions of this. One is a medical tourism division where, you know, we have the top physicians in the world and their various specializations that will be doing procedures there, just like the procedures we do and plastic surgery and other surgeries and from orthopedic to urogenital to integrative oncology to you name it. It's there's seven different specializations that we're bringing there.
Wow.
And people from, you know, people with means from all over the world will be flying in for these medical luminaries and the kind of treatments that we do. But that side of the practice will be funding the pro bono side for the local population. So that's one of the reasons they're so excited about it, is that it really builds up their tourism and builds up, you know, the top level of medicine available in the world will be available right there, and that side of it will be funding the side for the primary and urgent care medicine for the population, for the citizens of Belize.
Wow,
so it is a self-contained project, yeah, and so it's not dependent on anyone's charity,
yeah.
which is really fabulous.
Brilliant.
I do believe that things can be balanced that way so everyone wins, and this is a win-win for everyone. However, if there are any physicians out there mm-hmm. listening to this program, who would like to participate on the pro bono side, and give some time. It's a fabulous program for physicians, just like, Alice and I have been doing, medical missionary work at different places in the world, and Alice is a fully functional and licensed MD, has been giving her time like in Cambodia and Vietnam. When you do those missions, usually you're staying in pretty run-down facilities, and you're,
right.
I mean, you're just out there in the field with the local population.
It's not pretty.
The way we have this, set up is the clinics are being built, and there are beautiful accommodations for the doctors who are coming down to donate their time, and then on their off days, they can do this incredible ecotourism that Belize is famous for,
yes.
Whether it's scuba diving on the reef or whether it's out in the jungle, looking at Mayan ruins or doing caving and spelunking or rafting or whatever. That's all available so that docs can come down with their families, they can treat patients, they can give their pro bono time, and also go do these ecotourism. So if doctors out there are listening to this, then stay in touch, because
yes.
if you want to give of your time, we would love to have you.
Absolutely, and enjoy a nice vacation while you're helping people out. That's a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful
win-win. Well, it's a win-win situation for everyone involved. Obviously, the doctors that do come out there and do pro bono work, there is so much to see in Belize. Haven't been there myself. It's just a beautiful, beautiful place.
Oh, you got to go. It's nothing like it. There's nothing like it.
Yeah.
The trip that we were talking about when we first met you was Vietnam. That was the conversation that we had had.
Uh-huh. Well, there you have it.
Yeah, yeah. So Tony's dying to ask you a question, and I jumped in and changed the subject, and now he wants to go back and
I want to go back to where you were when you said you were in a coma and that you remember particular things from that coma. Were the things that you remembered, is that what got you to switch, and what were those things, if you don't mind sharing it with us?
Well, they were of an intensely spiritual nature.
Okay.
And,
that's fine.
And, yeah, they were, I guess, people would classify this as a near-death experience.
Okay, that's what I was curious of. If it was, because I'm very fascinated by that, and I've watched a lot of different series on it, and I've read a lot about
uh-huh.
it.
Well, yeah, it was pretty. It was deep.
Did you feel like
go
ahead.
Yeah, one experience. I'll tell you both of them. One experience was that I actually, I came back into pseudo-consciousness for a few seconds, somewhere in the middle of this coma. I recall suddenly sort of waking up, pseudo-waking up, and I was being given an alcohol bath. I could smell the alcohol and feel it on my skin. Though I was blind. At that point, my senses pretty much had shut down, so I couldn't see. I didn't realize that at the time. I thought that my recollection was that I was in a darkened room, and so it was all black in there, and later, of course, my attending physician said, no, the room was perfectly light. You were just blind. You couldn't see because your vision had shut down. That part of your brain had already shut down. And I recall thinking, feeling that the washing of the alcohol over my body and wondering whether I was naked. Now, it's the strangest thing. Here I am, I'm on my last breath, and I'm wondering if I was naked and wondering whether or not the person who was giving me this alcohol bath was a man or a woman. I remember thinking that as I, just barely came back into consciousness. And then as I... I couldn't ask. I couldn't say anything because my breathing was so shallow, like that. I couldn't get enough air into my lungs to push any words out. So I couldn't ask. I didn't have enough strength to do it. But as I then started fading away back into unconsciousness, I remember thinking that I was totally naked. It wasn't just an issue of having clothes or not. But at this point, you know, as I was dying, and I realized that I was dying, that I was naked of all the trappings of modern life. At that point, I had no degree, I had no money, I had no property, I had no clothes, I didn't even have a name, that I was utterly naked.
Wow.
And and I remember thinking that if I survive this, that I would like to be able to be that naked and vulnerable with the people that I love in my life.
Wow, that's beautiful.
That's very powerful. And it's interesting that you were being washed down with alcohol, almost like a cleansing or a letting go, like we're going to strip you of everything and wipe you down, meaning that you're being...
Fresh start, almost.
Fresh start. You know, like you're, like it's a new beginning for you. So we're going to strip you of everything and rebuild you and have you come back with a new mindset.
You know, that didn't even occur to me. Of course, they were giving me the alcohol bath in order to try to reduce my fever. I had a raging fever they couldn't control.
Yeah, I didn't get that. I got the symbolism of it, the symbolism of it's just this cleansing of you. And the alcohol for you was more of a medical thing going, geez, this is the way you really wipe someone down. You wouldn't use soap and water. It's the alcohol that actually really purifies and takes away any types of germs or any type of
impurities.
Impurities. There you go. Impurities that you might have collected throughout the time of your time on Earth. What was the second one that you had?
Well, the second one it didn't come back to me until actually a couple weeks later. And I was, it came back. You know how sometimes you have a dream and you don't realize you've had it, and then the day or two later, suddenly the dream was back, and you remember, oh my God, I had this dream, and you remember it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, it was like that, and it literally brought me to my knees weeping. I was in my coma. I was essentially suspended in limbo. And for the longest time, it's for an eternity. I was suspended in a place, in a space, without any differentiating features at all, meaning there was no sense of dimensionality. I couldn't see up or down or right or left. It was just gray. Everything was gray. And there was no sense of direction, no sense of cause and effect, no sense of time. There was no before, there was no after. There was no causation of anything. I was suspended as if I was in a column of water, just floating in a column of water with my arms and legs, my limbs, effortlessly just floating there. But again, there was nothing to measure. There was no dimensionality of any kind. Not the three dimensions and not a fourth dimension. And it seemed that I was in an eternity in that space. But nothing happened. Nothing happening. And I was also emotionless. There was no emotion in that space. There was no joy nor happiness. No happy, no sad. No relaxation, no tension. Nothing could be measured. It was pure awareness. I was purely aware, but there was no dimensionality internally or externally of any kind. And again, it seemed like an eternity. And then suddenly, there was a voice. And it was God's voice.
Wow.
And God said my name, said Asher. And I said, yes. But again, it wasn't an external voice, it was an internal voice.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I said, yes. And God said, go back. And I remember... I yearned so much to talk to God.
Right.
I wanted to talk to God, but it was an impossibility. I can't explain that, but it was somehow clear to me that it was an impossibility.
Wow.
So much so that I couldn't even say a question. I couldn't formulate a question. But the yearning to communicate with God was so overwhelming. And God just said, go back, not your time, or something to that effect.
Right, right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then next thing I know, I woke up.
That's fascinating. It seems like I could see how that could change your whole perspective on life. Obviously, here you are suspended, weightless, with no emotion, and you're just there.
Well, it strips away all of the commonality of being a human.
Right, right. Yeah. And it's almost, again, I go back to it seems like it was part of your cleansing.
A purification of sorts.
A part of your purification for whatever reason, and I think it was to put you on a different path, which the path that you are is in, that you're currently on is amazing. You're helping so many other people, and you're bringing so much to people that are in need that it's almost that you found your life's mission through this.
Well, I don't know. I still can't figure it out. You know, I do think about the experience and try to draw out of it some kind of meaning or purpose. But nothing is clear to me about why that happened or what meaning or purpose I'm trying to draw out of it. One thing for sure came out of it, that's that I have a different kind of relationship with death after it than I did beforehand.
Mm-hmm.
That death became a companion after that experience.
Right.
In fact, sometimes I feel like I'm walking with death hand in hand as friends. That death is always there, kind of over my left shoulder, reminding me, so to speak, to be present.
Ah, there you go. That's an excellent way of putting it, to be present in the moment that you're in currently, for death is just a transition, and it could easily happen and switch into a different physical form. So be present in what you're doing currently.
Mm-hmm. Pretty much so, and I've had many experiences since then that keep on reinforcing the same lesson over and over again, and that's that to change my thinking. I used to think, and I think most people in life think, about what am I getting out of this moment, or what am I getting out of this relationship, or what am I getting out of this work, or what am I getting out of life?
And the
question for me is not that at all. I've learned from that experience, and again from many experiences since, that the question is, what am I giving to the moment, not what am I getting from the moment.
Yeah, and let me just say, it takes a profound experience in order for most people to get to that place. You know, it not everybody can just spin into the thought, getting out of their own way and out of their self mind into the spot of, well, what am I contributing to this world here? What am I contributing to this life?
Ask not what I can do for what my country can do for me,
yeah,
but
right.
What I can do for my country.
Yeah,
and it's
that's a macro view of it, and for sure. That's one that many people speak of often, and that's incredibly valuable. But I'm talking about actually on a micro level, and I never thought about that before. It never even occurred to me before that in every minute, how am I giving everything that I am to that minute, in that minute?
Right.
On a micro level. So it's got nothing to do with bigger events in life. It's got nothing to do with missions in life, or big projects, or even even something as small as a conversation. Am I giving everything I can to a conversation?
Mm-hmm.
You like this conversation that I'm having with you, but even smaller, in this very moment, am I giving everything that I have in me to consciousness in this moment? And that never occurred to me before, you know, before that coma. And then since then, again, you know, the experience is keeping getting more and more intense as I'm more and more able to do that on a moment-by-moment basis, sometimes an instantaneous basis. And things open up that are really extraordinary when I am able to do it.
Right.
But the question is exactly that. In every second, in every moment, how the issue of, the issue of being fully alive is, what am I giving? What am I,
yeah.
I can't explain it.
No,
it's hard to explain.
I gotcha. I totally get what you're saying.
I totally understand what you're saying also.
And I have to say, you know, we have a group of listeners that follow us on this station that will completely understand what you're saying, because we talk about this type of subject with connecting to the other side and connecting to humanity and connecting. But part of that connecting is what you're talking about, your connection with the micro minute of how are you contributing to the life that you are in. So, yeah, you're going to have a lot of people thinking when they hear this broadcast today about reshifting their life and what are they contributing to their life, you know, to the life they're living, and, you know, not only to the outside world, but to their own internal self and their own journey. So I really, really appreciate you sharing those thoughts with us, because I think it's really strong to get people to think on this level and to get people to shift their mindsets as to, you know, get out of your mundane everyday thoughts, I'm 9 to 5 working, look a little deeper at that, you know, microorganism there within your brain that allows you to do the things you do, and really negotiate, are you giving your life your all? I think that's really strong. I really appreciate you sharing that with us.
I do too. I really appreciate you allowing yourself to go back there and share this with our listeners and us, because I think there's a lot that people can gain just from hearing your story. So I'm very pleased that you got an opportunity to share it with us and with all our listeners.
I hate to say this, I'm really sad by it, but we got to wrap up, and it's a bummer because I could talk to you for another hour here. It would be great. Can you let people know where they can find you guys, you and your wife both, and how they can stay involved and connected with you? And then, you know, we'd like to have you back on the show talking about things you're doing in Belize and around the world, and keep in touch with you. It's absolutely a pleasure to have this type of a conversation with you. I really can't stress enough how much we appreciate having you today.
Well, I would love that. The best way to follow what we're doing, both medically and otherwise, is at our website, which is amaskincare.com. And AMA stands for American Medical Aesthetics. So Alpha Mike Alpha skincare.com. And eventually I'll have a link there to the Belize Project as well, so you'll be able to follow that once that's up and running. And we have a name for it and everything. We don't even have a name yet. So you're really catching it in its infantile or its fetal stages.
Excellent.
I do want to give one little shout out here for some experiences that I've done since. For sure, I mean, since the coma and everything. As you've implicated, both of you, that the quality of life is all about an inside job. And for sure I learned that in the coma, that it's the inside work that a person does and that I've been doing that give the richness and depth, you know, to my life. That life is inherently mysterious and magical. And unless you do the inside work, you never see it. You never touch it. You never get to experience it, breathe it, or explore it. And there are some things that I've done along the way that have been really helpful, you know, in the internal world. And I took some courses with an organization called Pathways Institute with Carol Kamen, which were amazing, deep Jungian, you know, work. And by the way, she's someone you should absolutely interview, by the way. Carol Kamen from Pathways Institute, the most incredible Jungian transforms and dream work and incredible stuff. And also meditative things. If anyone there has ever experienced yoga as a form of meditation, there's a foundation called the Isha, I-S-H-A, Isha Foundation, and working with Sadhguru Vasudev, that's the guy from India that developed this method, has been incredible for me, and some of the richest, most enriching and meaningful work I've ever done on the inside, which colors everything I do on the outside. So I recommend, you know, you haven't asked my advice, but I'm just giving it. I just recommend that people do whatever they can for the inside work, because it makes the outside work, you know, more beautiful.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Dr. Milgram, thank you so very much again, and we look forward to having you on our show again. And
I look forward to it.
Keep doing the beautiful, amazing things you're doing, both inside and out, darling. It's just a pleasure to have you as part of our organization here and our happy family of humanitarians out there in the world. And ladies and gentlemen, we'll be back in just a few moments after a message from our sponsors, and we will keep in touch with Dr. Milgram along the way, so you will not lose sight of him.
So listen up. If you're on the market for a graphic designer, you know, someone who can create logos, websites, etc., along with radio ads and video, Well, there's no need to look any further than ST Productions. It's your one-stop shop for all your graphic, audio, and video needs. ST Productions will get it done while saving you money and having fun. So keep them in mind. ST Productions, an audio, video, graphic design service. Hey, welcome back. You're listening to Humanitarian Radio. And at this time, I'd like to send a song out to Dr. Milgram. It's a song called Rejuvenation. That was Rejuvenation by St. Tone. You could find that at www.sttone.com on the World Radio 13 CD. That is all the time we have this week. Hope you have a great day, and we will see you next time. Peace.
Humanitarian Radio, shouting out some good news for your soul.